Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Good evening. Well, guys, great to be in the house tonight on a Wednesday night, and before I do this, just testimonies. Does anybody have a testimony? You give 2 minutes. You give a 2 minute testimony. Anybody? Somebody's got to have a testimony, right?
I can step in for a testimony.
Can you do 2 minutes?
Maybe like a
okay, I need somebody on deck, okay? Here we go.
Well, it's not my testimony, but it's my mom's testimony. She had gotten a job increase. She just moved up positions, and she got like a 12 cent an hour raise or something. And that's or 12 cent an hour raise, but that's not the testimony, right? So she had been working, and praise God, she works hard. She won Employer of the Year last year, and she wasn't reaping the benefits of it. And she had called me last week on Monday, and she said, "Hey, I have good news to tell you." And when my mom says she has good news, she didn't find like a toy in her cereal box, right? Like, it's good news. She never. So I was so excited, and I was like, "Yeah, tell me." And she had told me that she got a raise. And it was from her previous raise from the position she got, but they reworked the system and they reworked the pay, and she got a $9,000 a year raise, which came out to like $4 extra per hour, and it was awesome, and it was just exciting to hear. But after she had told me, she said, "Look what the Lord has done," and it was just powerful, and she was giving glory to God, and it got me stirred up too, so.
That's a great testimony. Praise God. Hey, when your mama gets blessed, you get blessed. Amen? Amen. We pray for our mamas. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Come.
I've shared this with like half the people already, but I just really found it really cool. But the night we were praying for like all the nations and stuff, and we had like hit a vein of peace and all of that. I had like a really bad attack in my mind. I used to like deal with like panic disorder really bad, and where I just overthink things, I guess. And it was happening in church, and we were praying over Minister Mara's situation and stuff with her family, and I couldn't even concentrate on the prayer because it was just like one thing after another and in my head. And then all of a sudden I felt heard. I don't know. It's crazy. Definitely wasn't me. This voice go, shh. And like for the first time in my life, like every thought fell, and like it was so powerful and so like quiet at the same time, which like is how they describe God's voice and in the Bible. And I felt like that peace like I've never felt. Like I didn't even like raise my head. They were trying to get me to pass the offering bucket, and I was like so scared that it would go away. But it just really showed me how much God loves me, because like, and loves all of us, and like he can do that for all of us, and he's done incredible things. But it showed me his like an amount of his love that I haven't received, because that's something that I struggle with so much, and it's so small though. But like he really just like God told me to shut up and really like just did something. Also, just another testimony is my family, like the way God's working is incredible. And my aunt Kristen and my uncle Sam, they were like this perfect, is that okay if I keep going? They were like this perfect family to me growing up. He was a coal miner. She owned like a maid's business. And like I always had this like envious heart when I was in the world. I was like, they don't understand things and all this stuff. Well, it turns out they were struggling, maybe even worse than me. I didn't even know that. Because they had a house, and, like, they bought it, and they had cars, and they had money, and they went on vacation. I thought that they were just, like, you know, they had it all together. But my Aunt Kristen, and she shared her testimony at the Faith Church on each side, she was actually, for the last 10 years, because she had a stroke when she was 28, dealing with, at first it was, like, just, like, painkillers, and it became subs. And then 5 years in, it was alcohol, and she said that she would do, like, a lot of, like, a whole bottle and pills right before she'd even get her kids on the bus every morning for 5 years. And at the same time, like, around within, like, a month-ish of my salvation and me coming to God and me getting sober, he was also working on that side of my family, and I didn't even know it because we were kind of, like, we knew a little bit, but we didn't know. And she was in rehab, and she, like, felt the power of God, like, come over her. And anyways, I shared her testimony on Facebook if anybody wants to watch it. It's really, really, absolutely, like, just very humble and raw. But it's just incredible to see that, like, you know, he's really just working. And, but, yeah.
Amen.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Amen. Praise God. It's nothing. Isn't it great when your family starts coming to the Lord and everybody? Yeah. Amen. Thank you for sharing, Renee. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, praise God. Well, I'm going to get into something tonight here, and I'll be done by 8:30. Yeah. Oh, hey, sorry, Miss Brenda, I didn't come to you.
This happened, I don't know, maybe a few weeks ago, maybe longer than that, when Brother Dodd was, when the Holy Spirit was in the church, and when I was up front, all he did was put my hand on my heart, and I didn't understand what that meant. But it was bothering me, so I kept praying about it. And the Lord told me the other day, go to Joel 2nd chapter 12th and 13th verse. And I'm going to read it real quick to you. And it says, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all my heart. It says all my heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. And it said, rent your heart and not your garment. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. But when I read that, I knew what he was talking about. He was talking about my heart, that I had to give all to him, that now I know what he meant, and that I got to give all of my heart to him, not just part of it. And a lot of us need to understand our heart and see where our heart leads us and see where we're going with our heart, because I'm giving it all to God, and I understand what he meant, and I appreciate everybody in this church for helping me and lead me, especially our pastor. I love y'all. You know, for help me to understand things I didn't know. And I appreciate y'all, and I adore y'all. And just continue to pray for me that I get stronger and stronger in my faith.
Amen. Amen. Be strong in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you. Thank you, thank you. Well, praise God. Isn't God good? God is good. God is good. You have a testimony, Pastor Mary? No? Okay. Amen. Next time, right? Yeah, awesome, awesome. Well, praise God. Well, let's get into this. You know, one of the things we've been talking about was keeping the fire going, keeping the fire burning, right? You know, guys, we've been kind of around that, and even around Easter, you know, the understanding and how important it is, how important it is to live as a Christian, and one of the things I felt quickened to, and I had a call into doctor today, and I didn't get to talk to him, but. But one of the things that I found myself looking at, and I haven't looked at it for a while, was something that doctor wrote in the 80s, and I kind of leafed over a little bit of some of it for Easter Sunday. But he did a series called Realities, and some of you guys have been through this, pieces of it even. But I've spent some time with it, and one of the things he dove into was real power. And I think it's very important. It's a great study, and I'm going to try to make some of this available in paper format to our life groups, because it's just it's really good stuff. It's really good material. But I want to get into some of this tonight. And of course, it's mixed with some of my own thoughts around a few things. But I think it's important to understand that as believers, we need to understand our authority, and we need to understand where true power comes from, because this world is truly chasing after power. You see that everywhere. So let's just go ahead and open up in prayer. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for this word. I thank you, Father, for just a quickening around it, Father. May we always have the revelation of knowing where our help comes from. It comes from you. That Lord, in our own self, we can't work these things up in our own selves. But Lord, it truly comes from you. So Father, I thank you for the understanding of the power of the word of God and the power of truth. And so Father, we thank you tonight for that. Give us a heart to receive. Give us eyes to see, and give us ears to hear. Father, I know that the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, Lord, I pray that there would be a great release of faith tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we are in a power conscience world, and I don't know if anybody's ever studied psychology, but there was a psychologist by the name of Adler, and he suggested, and I've been through psychology, have a minor. Pastor Miranda has a 4-year degree in psychology, and her bachelor's is in that. And I remember studying this psychologist by the name of Adler. But one of the things that he suggested was that man's basic drive is for power. And you'll see this through a lot of different things and a lot of different writings. And it's interesting, because even in the political climate where things are at right now, you can really see that man's desire for power and people's desire, not just man's, but women also, the desire for power is very real. And I could sit and give you stories of different things that people will even sometimes seek power else in other places, and I'll talk a little bit about that tonight. But you can see that's something that's happening in our culture. People are desiring power. They'll search for it in all kinds of locations. They'll try to tap into even the demonic. They'll try to tap into things that would create maybe a persona of what real power actually is. So you see that. But you know even in Genesis, it's very interesting. In Genesis chapter 11, you know one of the things you see in that text, and I'm just going to read this, Genesis 11:4-7, because see, man, understand that man has the ability to create. And you'll see that even in Genesis chapter 11, God even made the comment. He said, not that he made a comment, but he said, are things not impossible for man? And you'll see that in Genesis chapter 11, this was the Tower of Babel, and they said, come, let us build a great city for ourselves. And this is Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. It says, then they said, come, let us build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the city that will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. Now, you know, keep in mind, has anybody ever seen pictures of Dubai? Dubai is like, they've got skyscrapers. They're building to reach into the skies. I would like to visit that area sometime, but I think it would be neat to see. But you'll see that with men are the things that are impossible. And it goes on to say, they will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. But the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. Look, he said, the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down. Let us go down. That's in reference to not just God, but you'll see Jesus, and you'll see the Holy Spirit. You'll see the Trinity. Even in Genesis, you'll see it. Come, let us go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other's. So you'll see in that text that even in Genesis, the possibilities that man the things that man can do, females, I'm referring to both sexes, but you'll see that. And again, a generation of people that desire to know true power, true understanding, true Christianity is what we're going to jump into tonight. Now, before I even talk about that, I want you to understand that there is power of the demonic. You know, I want you to understand that there's, you know, many years ago, I had somebody come to our living room when we lived in Hawaii, and not to name any names, but there was a presidential candidate that actually came to Hana, Hawaii, and one of the people in there said and came to me and started asking me some questions. Why would this person, come to Hawaii and want to visit a certain location or a certain area to have ceremonial type things? It was very interesting because, you know, it was very, very evident why they were doing that was because they were going after other forms of power. So please understand tonight, there's the power of God, but there's also a demonic power. God's power trumps demonic power. God's power trumps demonic power, but we have to understand there's a true authority that we have to walk in as believers to understand how to trump that demonic power. You know, demonic power, doctor says this, and he said it in his notes. He said the power of the demonic is camouflaged in the concept of the mind. It says this movement that you have to have power. You can do anything. You can do anything. You can have anything. Actually, is very demonic. It's very demonic. Let's just use this as an example. Hollywood. You know, you can look at people that were teen icons, right? That they were very famous people, and you guys could rip off names. I don't know a lot of them. I know some of them. But, you know, once they become adults or once they moved into another realm or another area, they begin to be controlled by people. Then they also begin to be controlled by demonic influences. You'll see that in Hollywood. You'll see that in sports. You'll see that in governments. I could sit here and talk about nations, Nigeria being one nation that, you know, where there's corruption and where these things that exist, witch doctors in certain nations, that they control the atmosphere. They control even the skies. I remember reading a David Oyedepo book. I don't know if anybody knows who he is, but he said, I remember him making the comment that we're praying over the air we're praying literally over the skyways or the air right now, and they're like, why are you doing that? He says, because witches fly in the air. So we start cursing, because they fly, guys. I mean, you guys understand, demonic power is very real. So we start cursing that, and then they'll find somebody that has fallen out of the sky because they take authority over that. So please understand, demonic power is very real. Demonic influence is very real. God's power trumps demonic influence. We're going to talk about a little bit of this tonight. But, you know, as we talk about power, real power, we're going to look at the power of Jesus Christ. The power of Jesus Christ. It's interesting that, you know, even in Acts chapter 16, just go there real quick. Go to Acts 16, verse 18. Even seeing it from a biblical, even seeing it in the Bible. Acts chapter 16. Many of you know this story. You've read it, you know. You've read this story. Acts chapter 16. Just drop down to verse 18. Let's just look at that. Demonic power is visible and invisible. There have been things that God can show you in the spirit. In the spirit realm, in the spirit area, that others may not be able to see. Those things are very real. I remember one time when Miranda and I were taking some kids to a certain area in Hana, and all the kids looked at us and they were like, "Do you feel that?" We're like, "Feel what?" We didn't feel anything, but those children felt that. They felt the presence of something evil. So understand that there's good and there's bad. So look at this in Acts chapter 16. I want you to see this real quick. Acts chapter 16, verse 18, it says, they went on that day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth was now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and drug them before the authorities at the marketplace. So what did Paul do? Drop down to the next verse. The whole city was in an uproar because of the Jews. They shouted to the city officials, "They are teaching customs that are illegal for us Romans to practice." A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. So, you know, this was the outcome. Paul was taking authority over a spirit. So I show you this, that some 2,000 years ago, there were demonic influences. And please understand that in 2025, there are still demonic influences. Now, I want to point something out for you guys tonight very clearly, that we the church, you as a Christian, can take power over the demonic, and you can take power over those things. Amen? So please hear that tonight, because a lot of people think, well, I don't have any control. That's the thing. That's the thing that we as the church need to understand. No, the enemy's been stripped. The enemy's been stripped of all of his weapons, and God has given his church, he's given you and I power. Amen? Power. You know, take your Bibles. I'm going to just give you some scriptures tonight. Take your Bibles and go to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. So we see a world, you see that people will strive for power. But what we want to get plugged into is the right source. Amen? And we want to stay plugged into the right source. Psalm 62:11. God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to you. Now I want to point out that man is made in the image of God. So the power lies with God. Did you get the power? We're created in the image of God, but the power belongs to God. We're created in the image of God, but the power belongs to God. I remember one time, you know, somebody come to Pastor Moran and I when we were ministering. We didn't know you had this ministry or that ministry or this. It's the power of God flowing through a vessel. And the operations of the gifts, it's as he wills. But, you know, at that point in time, there was a flow in healing. There were a flow in miracles. It's from God. So I'm just, you guys trekking with me so far. So we're made in the image of God. Power, O God, belongs to you. What kind of power are we talking about? The power to save. Please understand, I can walk somebody through salvation, right? I can share the good news with someone. We all are given the ministry of reconciliation, so we're called to minister to people. We can pray with people. We can go to God because we have him as our Savior and as our Lord. But I'm not the one, I'm not the one. Now, I lead somebody, I can help somebody, but I'm not the one that saves them. God ultimately is the one that saves them. You guys with? Not ultimately. He is the one that saves them. So God is the person, the Trinity, even the Holy Spirit. He is a person. God saves. I know you guys think, well, this is elementary, Pastor. Man, there's so many people that don't understand. They don't understand. You know, they'll tap into different power. They'll tap into other sources. And they'll look at what I did. No, it's not to look at what I did, but look at what God does. What God does through a vessel. The power to heal. God has there's the power of God to heal. Amen. You see it throughout the disciples' lives. You see it, you'll see it throughout their lives. You know, not only before Christ ascended as he sent out the 70, he sent them out with authority. We're going to talk about authority here in a second. But to understand that God he gives us or grants us or allows us to do his work in terms of laying hands on somebody and seeing somebody heal. Amen? I thought about that the other day. I remember Minister Lehal releasing his faith, praying for a family member that had cancer. Was on Big Island, right? I don't. You remember that? Huh? Was another island? Yeah.
I was on Maui. She was on the
Maui. He was on Maui, yeah. Yeah, just releasing faith. Amen. You didn't touch her, did you? She got healed. Yeah, share that real quick. Just share that.
See, that's built faith. So the lady was actually part of a program that Mara's mom was a part of, and
for what?
Oh, but anyway, we got word that the team came back to Maui without this lady. Found out that she was dealing with cancer, and so we actually that very moment when we found out she had cancer, we prayed, right? Yeah, we prayed. The lady and her family kind of accepted it. And so we prayed from home, and then I believe not even a week, like within that week, we got word that she went back for a checkup, and the doctors and even her and her family, they didn't know where it went. they couldn't find it. There's like not one speck of cancer cell in her body. Yeah. And she's here till today, too. She's still going strong.
Still going strong. Yeah. Amen. Amen. God heals. Amen. Amen. See, I feel like we should just start interjecting our services with testimonies because, guys, listen, when new people start coming and new people are getting ready, the people are coming. Amen. You know, what do testimonies do? They build faith. They build faith. So don't ever, if Pastor Brand says, hey, has anybody got a testimony? Man, run up here and give your testimony. Be ready to go. Think about the things that God's done. Amen. Praise God, one more. Amen.
And this is just to encourage everybody not to give up. The outcome wasn't what we wanted it to be, but my auntie was, she actually passed. This is when we called you guys, like 2 o'clock in the morning, which was, I don't know what time it is in. I think it was 8 o'clock in the evening.
It was 4 o'clock West Virginia time. It was like 10 o'clock.
Yeah. So if you guys hear that story, Pastor Bryce saying that was us. We called. Because we were at home. It was me, Mara, Hailama, and Killa. And we're sitting in my grandma's garage. Found out that my aunt passed away. And so we were like, okay, well, let's go out. Let's raise her from the dead. And so we called first, asked for advice. And you guys kind of just left it in our hands to figure out like, what to do. And so we decided to jump in the car, and we drove out. And from previous experiences with people going through the same thing, all we were thinking about was get anybody out that has no faith in that room, get them out and lay hands on her and expect God to do something. So we did that very thing. We went out. My auntie she passed already on the hospital bed. And actually my cousin, who is the daughter of my aunt, she just got saved too. And she was in there, so we prayed and everything, and then we just kind of said, okay, all right, Lord, we did it. We did what we're supposed to do. Laid hands on her, we prayed, commanded her to open her eyes and come back to life. And well, she did it. And so, but it's just, it's something that, fires us up more, like, to continue to do it. Like, don't give up, even if you don't receive the outcome that you're believing in heaven. It doesn't mean that God didn't work. Amen. We just continue to build our faith, continue to do what, man, if somebody else is laying on their hospital, not to be rude, but dead, we do that very thing. Go and lay hands on the person and believe that God will do something in their life. Because if they're not alive here, they're alive in heaven. Amen. We know that they received Christ and made God their Lord and Savior. I mean, it's a win-win situation for that person. And so, yeah, just an encouragement. Don't give up, even if you don't receive what, you're believing to receive. So, yeah, praise God.
Amen. Amen. Testimonies are good. Testimonies are good. So God, God saves. He heals. People can be raised from the dead. Many of you have seen that happen 2 years ago when a baby was brought back to life. Hands were laid on her belly and life was spoken into her baby, and that baby started moving. What was what's crazy about that testimony? It was she had a doctor's appointment the next day. The very next day, and she was like, I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow. And I just looked at her and I said, you call us and tell us what it is. Because, And she was nervous. She was really nervous about going to the doctor. And she called and said, the heart beats fine, the baby's alive, and God did that. Amen. He did that. Praise God. So, you know, God has the power to give life. Amen. And he does, and he will give life. Amen. So, amen. Praise God. You know, I would say this, that even in the area of testimonies, if you guys were to just sit and write down some of the things that the Lord's done, to keep those things mindful and keep those things in front of you. You know, because, I even today as I was writing this, I don't even know if I've ever told my wife this story. I was going down the road running about 60 miles an hour, and a car and I passed, and a car come over into my lane, and our mirrors touched. I thought it was a head-on collision. Did I ever tell you that story? Probably not. And the only thing I thought, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for sparing my life. That happened on Honda Road. That happened that one time. And two cars kind of just went through each other. Who knows? But I touched mirrors, and I had to mark on my mirror to prove it. That guy in my mirror running 60 mile an hour down the road, our mirrors touched. And the only thing I could think was Jesus just spared my life, or, you know, an angel just spared my life. So, praise God. But there's the power for God to to help us in so many areas, so many ways. Take your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Yeah, I would say angels have been sent on assignment in many of the people's lives here. Amen? That you could look back and think, man, if it wasn't for God, or if it wasn't for somebody praying for me, think about what could have happened. Or, you know, it's not that you think about what could have happened. 2 Corinthians 12. So we're created in the image of God. God has the power. We've seen that in Psalm 62. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. This is the Apostle Paul talking. Verse 9, he says, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. Let me read that one more time. It's a very, very powerful scripture. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My grace is sufficient, is another version. My grace is sufficient. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so the power of Christ can work through me. You guys, listen, you when you tap into that, it's like, man, you know, even at times where you can feel maybe defeated in something or something that's happened, or you see something happen, God's not done working. God's not done working in you. Amen. He's not done. Anybody had to stand for a healing or standing for a healing. You're in your weakness, he's made strong. Amen. So don't ever quit believing that God's power won't manifest over a situation or in your life. Amen. Real power. That's God's power. Like I said, we can stay here, guys. I'm not talking about going down into the valleys. I'm talking about contending and remaining steadfast and remaining faithful, that God will prove himself to you. Confident. I'm truly confident in what God can do. That in my weakness, in my weak points. Anybody ever had weak points? In my weakness, he's made strong. You know, and I tell you that even in those moments, in those times when I've got my own personal testimonies where I have just laid it out before God and wept and cried and said, God, I need, you know, situation with my own wife one time. She kept away from me because she was fasting and praying for a miracle. She got her miracle day 3. But she told me day 2, I started interceding, started fasting, started interceding and cried out before God. And I got into God's word and I said, God, your word says. I want you to be strengthened tonight in that God's word says. The power of God's word says. The power of God's word says this. You know, even in those moments, weak doesn't mean that you're in the valley, though. Can I be very real? Because a lot of times people think, well, that means you're in the valley when weakness. You know, there have been times where I've been fat. You ever fasted for an extended period of time? You're weak. Your body's weak. There's a natural thing. Your body naturally is weak. Your spirit man can get built up. But there's that war. You know, that you're pushing that flesh down. But in your weakness, he's made strong. And like I said, I'm not talking about being down. I'm just talking about knowing that I can tap into the power of God. That, you know, and those are those moments where you don't ignore God. God will give you assignments. In those moments of weakness, you know, in my moments of weakness, a lot of times God will highlight a person. He'll tell me to go pray with this person. He'll tell me to go do this. Go do kingdom stuff. Go do kingdom stuff. Don't sit around and just think about what's going on. Go do kingdom stuff. Put on the mind of Christ. And I'm telling you that those kinds of things, I hope this helps somebody tonight. Those kind of things will help shift. They'll help shift things in your life. And that's you tapping. You know, in my weakness, he's made strong. And I love that passage of scripture. Because I've never felt like, you know, well, I'm just a weak Christian. No, I'm a weak Christian. That's not what I'm talking about. There are moments in people's lives, I mean, you know, where man, you feel the heaviness. You feel the heaviness. I mean, the heaviness of family. I've felt the heaviness of family. And you know, you're like, you contend. You stay. Because those are things that can drain you. In my weakness, you're made strong. In my weakness, you're made strong. This is what your word says, Lord. Your word says this. I'm writing upon your word. My brother passed. I'll never forget it because I had never felt what I felt from a community. It wasn't the fact that it was just my family. My brother was a star athlete. He got best whatever athlete of the year and everybody knew my brother. Everybody loved my brother. I wasn't as loved as my brother, I'll be honest. So he was, the teachers loved him. They were like, why aren't you like your brother? I don't know. I'm not like my brother. So your brother's smart. What are you saying? I'm dumb? You know, that's what I had to. Miss Murphy would tell me that all the time. Won't you like your brother? I'm not like my brother. Yeah, anyway, so. And I remember that. I remember feeling the weight. Not just from my parents, but from our community, that so many of his friends that had reached out. You just torn up. I mean torn up. He's 36 years old. How? Some of you have been through this. How could that happen? How, in that weight that you carry. And I just kept praising God. In my weakness, you're made strong. In my weakness, you're made strong. Went to my pastor, said, you know, how do I handle this? What do I do? In my weakness, you're made strong. Because you find your strength in him. I'm telling you tonight, you no matter what's going on, you can find strength in him. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. You can find true strength in him. True strength will come from God. You can't work that kind of strength up in your own natural self. You'll get defeated. True strength comes from God. And at that moment, I remember. When I walked through the door of my house, Miranda met me at the door with a hug, and I broke. It had been 48 hours, 3 days. I don't know. I hadn't slept. Drove my parents clear to Charlotte. Been up for 72 hours. You know, you get dysfunctional at 72 hours, no sleep. you know, no sleep. And then, you know, everything happened with all the friends and just the weight. And I remember walking through the door and I was like, I broke. I know you remember that. I'd never felt anything. But in my weakness, he makes me strong. Amen. He is strong in me. Amen. So you ride off knowing that real power. And I'm talking about that tonight, real power. That real power, that word in the Hebrew is exousia. It means authority. That word means authority. That real power, that real authority that you can have as a believer. You can truly have authority as a believer. You can have authority over the demonic realm. You can have authority over demonic influences. You can have authority over your life. Amen. Is anybody with me tonight? You can have that kind of authority. Let's look at another scripture. Let's look at Luke. You know, see, authority, and I'm going to close with this tonight. Authority is the key to understanding power. Because I feel like I'm just getting started. Authority is the key to understanding power. We've been going through a study in our men's group, and I love it. It's the Believer's Authority with Kenneth Hagin. And man, we had just a great meeting last meeting. We got into it, and we just talked about the authority we have as believers. True authority. Man, it's powerful stuff. But authority is the key to understanding power. Look at Luke 24, verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. You know, Jesus's authority was questioned also. Time we'll look at that. But the authority of Jesus was questioned by the religious people. But in Luke 24, 49, and it says, And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in this city until the Holy Spirit comes that fills you with power from heaven. Where's this power that we're talking about from? Guys, it's from heaven. It's not man's power, but it's power from heaven. Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you power. Dunamis, that word, power. I'm going to send you power. The other word, of course, dunamis is that, but that exousia, which is authority. Oh, man. Then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So they worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. And they spent all of their time in the temple praising God. And we know that in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, you shall receive power. That word power is a different form of a word, but it's dunamis. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be what? You will be my witnesses, the power to be a witness. I'll talk about that later. I don't have time to get into that. But I want you to understand that the authority is the key to understanding power. When we talk about things, it was interesting. And I don't know if it was that I told somebody here recently, but like, do you know that you can take authority over your home? If it's your home, you can take authority over it. If it belongs to you, you can take authority over it. If you have the headship of a home, you can take authority over that home. Now, if you don't own that home doesn't belong to you, you won't be able to take authority over that home. That's why home ownership's a good thing. So you can take authority over your home. You know, how do you do that? You can go and anoint your house. You can anoint your house with oil. Anybody do this before? You can anoint your house with oil. Your cars, you can anoint, what's he talking about? You can anoint your cars with oil. You own it, right? I'm saying, well, the bike's got, you're driving it, right? It's your car. You're going to own it. And you can anoint the things that you have, things that belong to you. Amen. And especially your house. You know, that we understand that we as believers, we take possession, but we take authority. We take authority over strongholds. We take authority over principalities. We take authority over any demonic thing that would try to come our way. Amen? So understand that tonight. That authority, and I don't have time to get into it tonight because I want you to understand that the good news, Jesus, Jesus said, See, all authority was given to Jesus. But you'll see it in Luke 10. You know, he said it to his disciples. He says, I have given you authority over the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. He's given you authority. And guys, you know, and I want to close with this tonight, because it's something far too often we don't grasp or understand, and how quickly we give away our place of authority. How quickly, we something happens and we give it away through our speech, or we give it away because we don't understand. And this is one of the things Kenneth Hagin, he wrote this book many, many years ago, but he said, you know, one of the things with believers, they don't understand their place of authority as believers. That whatever happens, happens. That's not how we're called to live. We're not, well, you know, if it happens, it happens. It's going to happen. I grew up hearing that stuff. And I had to retrain my mind. I had to retrain my thinking. You know, I had to think about, you know, not everybody, you know, yeah, we're always going to be sick. You're always going to get, I have the flu around Christmas time, right? Or winter flu bugs here, right? I grew up hearing that. You getting your flu shot? I mean, I lived in a community. Everybody would come in. Sit on buckets, and now all the old people talk about their flu shots. This is normal, right? This is what normal people do. They talk about flu shots in the weather. Amen. That's what But see, God can position you to understanding His Word. Amen. He can position you. So, you know, I'm going to quit here tonight, and I'll get into this probably Sunday night. But it's important to understand that we as believers, we have authority. You know, if you get a chance, will you do me a thing? Will you look at Ephesians 1? You know, there are certain things. There's certain things that you can pull down in prayer. In Ephesians 1, and I love it. You know, there's Ephesian prayers. You can look it up. You can Google it. But there's Ephesians 1. You can actually take Ephesians 1, verse 15 through 23, and put your name in those scriptures. You know, Paul was praying. He was praying, but you can pray these powerful prayers yourself. And pray and pull down the Word of God. Dr. Morocco does that. You know, in a time of prayer, what Jabez? It's a prayer. Jabez, is that what he's still on? He'll do. You know, he did Ephesian prayers for a long time, but you know, but you can pull that down, and what it does is it gets the Word of God in you. it puts the Word of God in you. Amen. You know, they're very, you'll see it in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. They're prayers that are addressed to God. But it's important to understand, and if you don't understand authority, that's the problem. If we don't understand authority, guess what happens? We get beat up. We get beat up. We fall prey to the enemy. We start saying things that we shouldn't say. Amen. So we fight with the authority of the Word, but also the Spirit of God that's in us. Amen. The Word and the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Real power comes from God. Not from man. Not from people, but real power comes from God. Amen. Let's close. Let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to bless you. Praise God. God is good.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.